great tzaddik. He was actually, he's a great grandson of All for the Boss. I don't know if you ever read All for the Boss. You ever read that book?
Mir.
Mir.
I'm sorry? Okay, you can. So he was a great grandson, actually, of All for the Boss. And he was a tremendous personality. So he would usually speak after Shalosh Shuvos, Amasai Shabbos, it would go way past Avinatam, way past the Shita Sagonim, and I was lucky to hear him many, many times. I went with my brother to hear him. Yeah, I'll hold it for you. You don't have to bother. Put it on top of the table here. Anyway, so I was lucky to hear him many, many times. And so I just want to share with you a little bit, a number of things that he said in the course of the years that I heard him. So, once he told the following story, he heard the story, I think he said the name of Rabbi Tzvi Bergman. Rabbi Tzvi Bergman is an older Talmud Chacham living in Bnei Brak. He's a son-in-law of Rav Shach. Rav Shach, you undoubtedly have heard of, unquestionably. Rav Shach actually gave over the mantle of leadership to a certain extent, I would say, both Rabbi Yashiv, Zatzal, as well as to Rav Aaron Leib Shteyman, Zeh Tzadik Levracha. So, Rav Shach is the one who actually probably revolutionized the Torah world to a certain extent. I don't know, I was zochet to hear shiurim from Rav Shach. I used to go to Panovich. When I was in Eretz Yisrael in 1971-72, I did what... oh, there's more. Right. Okay, enjoy them, please. Enjoy them, because it says, actually, Yishoyer, Tam Latkes Befiv. That's like they call him Pesach. Let's Mishnah himself. Anyway, so the... you don't remember that Mishnah, apparently. Okay. Yeah, we all... Yeah, thank you. They're excellent. They're outstanding.
Thank you.
Anyway, this Rabbi Tzvi Bergman, he learned together with the Chazon Ish. He's the son of Rav Shach. He learned together with the Chazon Ish. And one night, they were learning actually practically the entire night till the wee hours of the morning. And then at one point, the Rabbi Tzvi Bergman, his eyes began to close. People get tired after a while. I imagine it happens to you as well, once in a while. So he said to the Chazon Ish, I can't learn anymore. My eyes are closing. I simply can't stay awake. It's not possible. So the Chazon Ish told him, that means that you reach your capacity. You've reached basically the outer limits of your capacity in terms of learning. That's all you're able to learn. Now, you're going to continue learning beyond your natural ability for a little bit more. What the Chazon Ish is trying to say, and what Moshe Aaron Stern was telling us, is that the fact of the matter is that when a person reaches a certain level of Limud HaTorah, which Baruch Hashem, all of you are in the process of acquiring that level, and you're now becoming a Mitzvah Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Masvidim, people are very diligent by learning Torah, which is really, trust me, at the end of the day, if one wants to become a Talmud Chacham, you don't necessarily have to be the biggest Baal Kishrin, but you have to be a Masvid. The Gemara says in Nida, Harotze, a person who wants to acquire Chachma, how do you go about acquiring Chachma? The Gemara says, be yeshiva, by sitting and learning. And a person who sits and learns, and does so consistently, and does so diligently, and does so in a way which is kavua, that's how a person will be able to become a Ben Torah and ultimately a Talmud Chacham. I saw the Chafetz Chaim writes, and it's not his Chiddush, the Gemara says it actually, that the Gemara points out in Chagiga that once you try to review something, the Gemara has many, many different statements about reviewing Gemara. So one statement is the Gemara says, see, you learn it 40 times, 40 times it's Murach Bekufsa, then it's like in your pocket. Then the Gemara Chagiga says, in a Shone, in a Dome, you can't compare someone who learns Me'apamim to someone who learns Me'apam Vachas, 101 times. So you'll say, what's the difference? 100 times, 101 times. By that time, you certainly know it. I mean, we have Mashir, a number of young men, a number of Shnai as well. Gemara is now Balei Tesis, they're holding. Don't embarrass them. They're Mimini, Michael, Mismeli, Gabriel. I have Malachim. I'm accompanied by Malachim every morning. These two Malachim accompany me when I daven. That's why my tefillos are basically wafted on the pinions of eagles. These are my two Malachim who surround me. So, 101 times is no different than 100 times. So the Baal HaTanya says, the difference is the following. 101 times shows your unbelievable commitment. I think it was spoken about last night by Rabbi Kanzel Shrita, Mesiras Nefesh. You're not gaining much more from 100 to 101, but it shows the commitment that a person has to Limud HaTorah. And now, Baruch Hashem, you have the opportunity of the Chanukah challenge that Moreinu Rabbeinu, Rav Yehuda Rav Lasky Shlita, has instituted in his infinite wisdom. And just to refer you to this Gemara, Chagiga, again, that what the Gemara says, that B'shaftim U'reisem, it's a pasuk, the Gemara calls E-tek-tek. That I don't need. I didn't say I don't want. I said I don't need. The Gemara said, B'shaftim U'reisem, that you'll see the difference between Tzadik V'Rasha. This L'chura is the not part of the meal.
It's a filling.
The pashtus. What was that?
It's a filling.
It has a one second, but it could be that this is fried?
Yeah.
Ah.
It's hearty.
What was that?
It's hearty. What do you do?
That's right. That's the question.
We say bracha.
Yeah. So, but the Gemara says that Mishapta Marisa Mitzadik the Rasha, that you'll sit down and see the difference between a Tzadik and a Rasha, between a person who's Ovid Hashem and one who's not Ovid Hashem. It's a pasuk in Malachi in the third parak. Isn't the Tzadik someone who serves Hashem and a Rasha is someone who doesn't serve Hashem? So the answer is yes. But really, both refer to perfect tzaddikim. But the Gemara says, no, the difference is between someone who learned something 100 times and someone who learned something 101 times. Gemara Chagiga, daf tes. That's the Gemara says this. So when you review your studies 101 times, that's the way to serve Hashem. You know, that shows you that you're really an Ovid Hashem. That's what the Baal Tanya, that's what he writes. There's a famous story about the Vilna Gaon that a guy actually learned Maseches Sukkah. I don't get mentioned Sukkah because that was the Masechta. He learned it again and again and again. This is actually quoted Rabbi Chaim Alojina, this story. He learned it again and again and again. And then he went to the Vilna Gaon and said, I learned Masechta Sukkah. So the Gaon asked him, can I test you on it? So he said, surely. So then the Gaon said, how many machleksim are there in Sukkah between Abai Barabba? How many between Ravina and Ravashi? How many between the Reed and the Ravina Tam? So of course he wasn't able to answer those questions. Then the Gaon asked him, how many times did you learn the Masechta? So he said 24 times. Learned the Masechta, Gemara Shnei Tesis, 24 times. But he couldn't answer how many machloksim there are between Abai and Rava, between the Riyav and the Tam, Ravina Ravashi. So the Gaon said, 24 times, you expect to know it? The Gemara says 101 times. So there's no question that, as I said, all of us are capable of learning and chazuring. That you saw already much earlier, but we did it actually for Caleb, Zechen Levracha, in his schus, and now we're doing it again. There's a story I heard in the name of Avzalman Balozhina. Avzalman Balozhina is the brother of Abchaim Balozhina. He's not so well known as his brother. Abchaim Balozhina was established in Shimon Balozhina, but he's still pretty well known. They say once he fell asleep on the Gaon's hand, and the Gaon said, shh, no one should say a word. The entire Torah is sleeping on my hand. Avzalman Balozhina knew Kol HaTorah Kula. There's no question that he's known to be a Baki Madim. So one night he knew the said Mishnah 300 times. Somebody asked him, the Gemara says he's supposed to learn 101 times. Where does it say 300 times you have to review something? 101 times, the Gemara Chagiga that I just mentioned. Why are you engaged in 300 times? So he answered, yes. 101 times is the absolute minimum requirement. But beyond that, you have to show a little avasater. Hello.
Yeah.
And that's the avasater that he showed by learning it another
199
times. Again, there's no question in my mind that there are people here, I would say come out everyone here, in Be'ez Hashem is Barach, has the capacity to become an outstanding Ben Torah, and you're already outstanding Ben Torah. There's no question you can continue to grow and grow and grow. But the key is, as I said, Chazara. That's the key to everything. The Gemara says again, a person wants to acquire Chochmah, the way to do it is be yeshiva. A person has to sit. And maybe I could even refer to what I said already a few times, the famous Rambam. The Rambam says, Ashri Yeshev Yisecha. The Rambam says, when you come to a shul, what are you supposed to do? Sit. Sha yeshiva sham iski amitzvahi shenema Ashri Yeshev Yisecha. The word yeshiva means to dwell. Happy are those who dwell in your house. And here, the Rambam interprets yeshiva as meaning literally to sit. That's why Sfadim, I mentioned that what they do is the entire davening, they sit. With the exception of Shemoneh Esrei, And the Shir Tzibur, of course, has to stand, but otherwise everyone else sits. So I would say, when it comes to learning, Shai Yeshiva Shami Iskei HaMitzvahi. That's the mitzvah, to sit. And it's not easy to actually go ahead and sit. It's not easy to be so devoted to Limud HaTorah. I mean, a devotion which, as you can see, is number one, consistent on a daily basis, on an ongoing kind of basis. And there's no question that is, as I said, the Yesod. So one who wants to advance in learning, wants to want to become, and B'ez Hashem, as all you are going to become, hopefully, B'ez Hashem is Barach, outstanding B'nai Torah, and outstanding Talmidei Chacham. So I'm now going to share with you something which I think is also very significant, and that is, all of us are aware of the mitzvah to learn Torah. We know that it says, L'imadatim osam is B'nechem v'dab yabom, it's supposed to teach it to your children, V'latz chavadarach, v'sham v'avkumecho, and the Gemara says in Kedushin, there's a constant obligation to study Torah, to learn Torah. Wherever you find yourself, whether you're in the yeshiva, or you're on a bus, or you're in a car, or you're on vacation, or you are even somehow engaged in walking, for your exercise, or whatever you're doing, jogging, there's no question that you could listen to Shiurim, Divrei Torah, and the like. And the fact of the matter is, that is an indication of how involved the person is in terms of Limud HaTorah. That shows you don't want to be Masiyah Das of Limud HaTorah. You don't want to have Hesech Hadas of Limud HaTorah. That's a good thing. That's exactly what we're supposed to, shall we say, recognize the value of every moment of learning Torah and every second of learning Torah. And that's what I mentioned today. We talked about it in the Gemara Baikot and Daftes, where the Gemara says that if a person is learning Torah and now a mitzvah comes up that you have to do, and there's always constant mitzvahs and constant chasodim that a person has to do, and someone has to do me this favor, do me that favor, etc. But if the mitzvah can be done by somebody else, the halacha should not be mevatel from talmud Torah. You should not stop studying Torah, because since someone else is available to do the mitzvah and can do it just as well as you can, then there's no heter to interrupt your learning. And Chazal say, Adam la'amal yula, the person was created to toil. To toil in what? So the answer, of course, is to toil in Torah. The amal that a person should try to the extent that one can. And that's really what those who are familiar with this great Gadol who just passed away, or Rav Shteyman, there's no question he was a masmid beyond masmid. And that element of Hasmad, as I told you, is really the critical element if a person wants to move ahead and become a Ben Torah. But I just want to add another very significant factor, Lefiyan Yuzdaiti, that I think is something that is that's very critical. When a person studies Torah and constantly reviews the Torah that he learns, it becomes a part of you. And a person, again, the Gemara says in Shabbos, that you're going to be asked when you go up to Bez Shamala, Kavati to La Torah, were you Kovez Man to study Torah? And then they're going to ask you, okay, say over what you learned. So trust me, I, Avishai David, am going to be in a lot of trouble. I don't think I'll be able to answer with any kind of confidence, because even the sections that I learned, I don't necessarily know with total clarity or with sufficient clarity. And that's what they're going to ask you. And there's a medrash. The medrash says, Rabbi Shmuel says, that B'yom HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge the entire world. And Talmid Chacham is going to come before him. He'll say to him, did you engage in the study of Torah? He said, yes. So Hashem says to him, tell me what you learned in Chumash, what you learned in Mishnayos. And then it says the following, it's a famous comment, Ashi Mishabalakan V'Talmud HaBiyado. So many people will be able to say, Ashi Mishabalakan V'iPad Biyado, the smartphone Biyado. They present the Ibn Hashem with their smartphone, with their iPhone, with their iPad. That is not what is expected. Asher Mishabalakam Talmud HaBiyado means every person here has the ability potentially to actually not only learn Torah, but learn it to the point where they actually become really familiar with it, not just familiar with it, but really know it. There's no question about it. Every single person in this room has the capacity to do so. Kol Echad Lefi Madrigaso. And there's a medrash that continues, that same medrash. A person who has learned Chumash and not Mishnah, Hashem is going to turn away from him. I want to say what happens after that. It's a long medrash over here. If I learn two or three Siddurim of the Shishta, Siddur, Mishnah, Hashem says, why don't you learn all the Mishnayis? I learned Moed, Noshim, Nezikim. Why don't you learn Zroim, Kachim, and Taros? I learned all Mishnayos. And Hashem says, why did you learn Teras Kohanim? Why did you learn the Vidur Yom Kippur? Why did you learn the Gzeirah Shabbos? All the halachas of Erechin. Someone learned Teras Kohanim. Hashem says, why did you learn all the, shall we say, Taseptas and Sifros and what have you? And on and on and on. So, obviously, there's a tviya on all of us, of course, to learn what we can and to try not to waste any moment and try to utilize the time that we have to the extent that we can. But we're not allowed to be in ignoramus in any area of Torah. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva. He says the person is obligated to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. He writes that in the tshuva in the Igros Moshe. When I saw that tshuva a fair number of years ago, that's when I started learning Daf Yomi. I would get very nervous because what do I learn? I mentioned earlier Daf Beis and Aleph, 2.5 months in Makis. I didn't even get to the bottom of the page. And so there's no question that all of us are capable of doing way beyond what we think we are. All of us, every single person in this room, and I'm telling you, the key is chazara, chazara, and more chazara, afochba, va'afochba, the kulaba. And without toiling, without working, and without fooling oneself, because one should not fool oneself. And we don't have to fool ourselves. We can fool everyone except for ourselves, that's for sure. We can't fool anybody else, nor should we fool anybody else. And we certainly should not fool ourselves. So, kol echad lefi madri gaso. You have people who have to work for a living, which is a mitzvah, a very important mitzvah. I'm in favor of people working for a living. I just want to go on record. They heard me many times. I don't think every person has to become a member of the kol, an avreich. I think people who work for a living, Baruch Hashem, they're kind of a very important mitzvah. And they're supporting their family. That's a tremendous mitzvah, an unbelievable mitzvah that I want us to be cognizant of. But at the same time, everyone has to be koveit to Torah. Every person has to set aside a fixed amount of time during the day. Obviously, the more the merrier, the more the better. But we all have to be involved in the study of Torah. This year, you had essentially a golden opportunity, and Baruch Hashem, you still have a golden opportunity for those who are remaining, whether it's 2 or 3 more days, or 2 or 3 more months, or even hopefully 2 or 3 more years. Maybe there are a few like that as well. someone told me a joke. Lot to Speedy Freedy. I just want to tell over, and this is what I was looking for today, and I found it. I was zocher when I was here in Yerushalayim in 1971-72 to go to the shurim once a week of a gadol whose name was Avisol Gusman Zechatzai Debracha. I think I mentioned his name here before. I don't know if you recall. You remember?
The plants.
The plants,
the
correct.
Berries.
Correct, the berries. This is how we saw Gusman, tragically, lost his only son.
Reb Chaim Ozer.
That's right, correct. He lost his only son. The Nazis killed his only son. After he later on met a professor here, Alman, who won one of the massive prizes of genius, who also lost a child, and they were able to commiserate very much with each other. This professor Alman used to go to Reb Gusman Shiurim, both geniuses. He became a member of Chaim Moses Bezdin when he was 19 years old. An absolute genius. And Rabbi Chaim Moses used to take him for walks. At one point, he took him for a walk. He showed him all kinds of berries, as Rabbi Michal Bixen here, my Rebbe, said. And his father's a Rav. We have a lot of chashuru people here. He's a Ben Arav, a very chashuru person. He and his father, obviously. He said something over very nice before. I'm going to remember what he said regarding what we spoke about that sefer that was a little bit mukhra. Anyway, Rabbi Saul Gusman, Rabbi Chaim Moser is showing him berries. He doesn't know why he's showing this. Later on, he was unfortunately, shall we say, almost captured by the Nazis, and he had to run into the woods. He became a partisan, and there he lived on berries. And Rabbi Chaim Moser apparently somehow saw in his unbelievable kaleidoscope vision what's going to be, and he actually, Rabbi Chaim Moser died right before the Nazis invaded actually Europe, and he already saw the Chavetz Chaim Zatzal. They both saw that there was something that was going to happen that was would have been earth shattering, which it was, of course. Anyway, we saw Gusman became he was a dayan for Rav Chaim Moshe Bezdin from the age of 19, I think about 25 years, if I'm not mistaken. So he came to Eretz Yisrael. He met the stipler, the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and the stipler couldn't hear well. I myself was lucky to see the stipler twice in my life. In 1971, I went to him twice. 71-72. First I went to him, I asked him, will you sell me all the svarim that you wrote on Shas? So he asked me, am I learning all Shas? He was quite half serious and half joking. So I said, no, I'm learning one Masechta. So he sold me the Masechta that I was learning. Then towards the end of the year, after a year and a half, I was going back to Chutz Lars, to America, I asked them, I almost started crying. How am I going to get this? Rum was not available in America. And I wanted to get them. Not that I've learned them so much, to be quite honest. But the Chozos, I have Yitzhar for Swarm, as you can see. There are a lot of show over here. Show and tell. I bring it out to show and tell people. Look at this beautiful Swarm. Anyway, so the at the end he sold me all the Swarm for $1 a piece. I'll never forget that. One of the best deals I ever did in my life. So the Steibel couldn't hear well. Rabbi Saul Gusman came to Eretz Yisrael, and he signed his name. So Rabbi Gusman basically wanted to. He had to write down to the Steibel he couldn't hear well, so he wrote down, and in the end he wrote Yisrael Gusman. So the Steibel asked him, "Was your father a Dayan of Chaim Blazes Bezdin?" So Rabbi Gusman said, "I was the Dayan." So the Steibel said, "I'm reading from this." Essay that I saw written by Rabbi Moshe Aaron Stern, as I mentioned to you before, Zatzal. At that point, the Steibel could not walk well, couldn't even go to shul. Yet, when he heard who stood before him, the Steibel stood up, ran over to Rabbi Yisrael Gusman, hugged him and kissing him, saying him, "You don't know the esteem which Abchai Meza held you at the age of 19. And then he began saying a shir every Shabbos for 4 hours, and then he saw people had difficulty listening 4 consecutive hours, so he split it into two, the Rabbi Yisrael Gusman. And then he went to see the Chibina Rav, and the Chibina Rav said, "Do you have a relative who was a dying of Chaim Meza Bezdin?" So again, sheepishly he said, "That was me." "That's you?" The Chibina Rav put on his hat and said, "Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, shechalak michachmasi lirayah." That's the bracha you make. I'm seeing a Talmud Chacham, a great Talmud Chacham, and you make that bracha. So again, you see Rabbi Saul Gusman was just an astounding person. But how did he become such an astounding person? And the answer is that Hasmoda, his diligence, and devotion to the study of Torah was legendary, absolutely legendary. And all of you have that capacity and that ability, and I've seen it in the course of the last year and a half, approximately. I don't know, is it a year and 4 months? Almost a year and a half. You have become budding B'nai Torah. And now just take this and multiply it for the next, I don't know, how many decades, Halavai Ad Me'ah V'Chamishim Shana, as I wish on all of you in good health, and everyone, all Klal Yisrael. It's incredible what you can become. And I'm telling you, that gentleman who slept the entire Shabbos and observed Shomar without Zohar is today now studying Ben Torah. He's a Torah Shraga student. And whenever I see him, I start crying. I cry mitoch simcha at what is possible to accomplish once you get a hold of yourself and wake up and smell the coffee and realize what Torah is all about, and what life is all about, and the values that Baruch Hashem you can acquire through learning Torah. There's no question about it that it's a remarkable and absolutely fantastic kind of hakara, recognition, and all of you have the capacity to become outstanding B'nai Torah. Every single person in this room. Obviously, some people go a bit further, some a bit less, but each one can really advance and move ahead. And at the end of the day, it's all totally on you. You're right. Well, as a Vinduja, you might have a Zara. Hakol totally b'cha. It's all totally on you. It requires a decision on your part. A decision you're going to work at it. And now you have the perfect opportunity during the Hanukkah challenge, Baruch Hashem, that Rabbi Roblowski provided for us. Now, he's really the fulfillment of the Beis Halev, as you saw, cause and effect. Who is the cause and who's the effect? You know what I'm talking about? My famous Yisod, which Rav Soloveitchik used to say over all the time. I told him over, Rav Soloveitchik was convinced beyond convincing that there's one reason why the United Nations was established, to establish the state of Israel. I maintain, last week when the President of the United States, Donald Trump, recognized Jerusalem as the capital, despite the objections of the entire world, that's the reason why he became President of the United States. People, he became President because he became president. He threw his hat into the ring with all the others, and through some miraculous event that night, I remember that night well, I said to myself, I wanted to take, I'm not a betting man. That's not my thing. And maybe a Shiloh B'Sachar B'Kuvia, Apostle Agus, I don't want to become Apostle Agus. Okay. But I didn't get into that. But I was willing to bet. I remember I told members of my family, $100,000 that I don't have, he will not be president. They didn't know what to say to them. Next morning, I wake up, I said to myself, I must be dreaming. That to me is a sign there's a God in heaven. When people ask me, what's the proof of the existence of God? I took a course in philosophy for 1 year on different proofs of the existence of God. The proof of the existence of God is that he was elected president of the United States. There's no other way that such a quote-unquote individual could be elected president of the United States. And then last week, when that happened, I said to myself, that's the reason why he was elected president. And it takes someone of his lunacy, I can only describe it that, no one else could have stood up to the entire world. All the former presidents who were in the same position, Obama and all those that preceded him, they all made promises that were absolutely without any foundation. But because of his nature, he's ready to take on the entire world. Amazing. That to me is what I call the Siva Mesova. And the same thing applies to Rabbi Roblowski Shlita, Lorena Rabbeinu, and all the challenges that he's putting you up, Baruch Hashem, putting right in front of you. What is the cause and what is the effect? What you think is the cause is the effect, and what you think is the effect is the cause. It's all designed to make, to transform you into Bnei Torah, which Baruch Hashem you are becoming little by little. And that's, shall we say, the ultimate schus that you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to yourselves. And it's happening. Of course, there are bumps along the way. There are ups and downs. There are zigzags. That's the way it is. That's what life is all about. But at the end of the day, you have to believe in yourself. And I'll tell you one thing. Rabbi Roblowski Shlita believes in you. And so do I. Despite my literature inclinations. Because I've seen the last 43 years of my life in Chinuch, many, many young men like yourself who became Talmidei Chachomim Muflogim. There's a fellow who's a Talmud of mine, I'll end with this because we have to bench, and he told me, Zion, you better be there at 9:15, otherwise he'll probably kill me. And he's actually, you have to watch out for him in a dark alley. Anyway, so he's a Talmud of mine who was not different than the other Talmidim are present in the yeshiva. And he was actually a real character, a gadabout. I won't go into details about that. Today, 25 years later, he's a mechaber of several svarim and a Rosh Kolel in a very big city. And whenever I see him, he comes to Eretz Yisrael every few years. He comes to this house from the airport. And he tells me that I had a massive share in his life. I'm not sure what share that is. But so I see Yesh Me'ayin and things like this happening. And I'm convinced that Baruch Hashem, everyone here, including your beloved son over there, can also, and he's also made tremendous strides together with all of them. He's a wonderful time we have over there. And Hashem should give all of you bracha v'atzlocha, really, siyata d'shmaya, to continue going, le'ilu le'ilu.
Amen.
Okay, we have to bench, so the problem is that we need, everyone has these benches.
Smartphone benches.
Smartphone
benches. Come to the smartphone tomorrow.
Got it.